From the world of Sonic the Hedgehog, a new hero arrives.
I am
ready. Is there anyone stronger?
No.
Tougher?
No.
Funnier?
I do not make jokes. I make warriors.
Knuckles, now streaming only on Paramount Plus.
Yes!
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. Are you still listening? Good. Take a deep breath. You needed a break. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. So, yes, you can literally stream a stream. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation. Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream 7 national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
Welcome to the Inside Carolina Post Game. I'm your host, Tommy Ashley. We're sponsored by Johnny T-Shirt and JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Guys, Carolina 84-79. I'm glad we don't do these immediately after the game. It's kind of like the handshake line. Might be a lot different if we did it immediately after the game. So we're a little bit delayed. My bad on audio issues. But Dewey Burke, ton of people in the chat. They all came to hear Dewey talk about Carolina Duke. Give us your opening thoughts.
Yeah, so proud of these guys. I mean, I was watching the spread. You know, 4.5 to 5.5, kind of back and forth there. So clearly the money was on Duke, and obviously came right out and punched him in the mouth, which I thought was, you know, probably the best possible way we could start and has always been over there historically. If you come out and punch him in the mouth, take the crowd out of it, which we did do. But as we texted, I knew there was a run coming. They didn't play well at all in the first half. So, you know, Mondo doesn't miss that dunk in the first half. We're up 19. But I knew it was going to be closer than that. They made their run. I'm really proud of the poise we had, and you know, a couple turnovers that were a little sloppy. I thought some calls that didn't get made. They really tried to keep flipping the game, which was, you know, if we want to talk about him, we can. And then obviously it's, you know, this is Cormac's. Cormac became legendary tonight. He's into the annals of the rivalry, which is a really cool thing for him. He just, you know, whatever's past being in the zone, that's where he was. And, you know, guys that can shoot it know what that feels like. It's something special. So especially that last one, my gosh. So just immensely proud of him. It's so great to not share it. It's ours. We win it. They get nothing. And there's no finer feeling in that jersey than winning in that building.
Yeah, I thought, you know, I thought Cormac's last three there sort of reminded me of some guy you played with, banging in a three to seal
it. His or Elliott's? I don't know. I was kind of. It's funny you say that, Tommy, because on our group threads we said Hansborough-esque when Elliott's went in because it was more kind of haphazard. But yeah, either one of them. Big shots to both of them.
Yep, and Elliott's almost had that Marcus Page feel double clutch. So
good point,
Taylor. You've been grinning. Get in here.
I could have let Dewey go for another 20 minutes. I was kind of happy with the ISO and kind of letting Dewey cook. But, yeah, I think this was a great night for the Tar Heels. And this was all about validating that first win that Carolina had in Chapel Hill, where all the talk going into this game was about how well Duke had been playing. The metrics said that they've been the fourth best team since February 1st. But part of that stretch included Carolina beating Duke pretty handily on their home court. So now they got the chance to go to Duke and win the ACC outright. And that's exactly what they did. I thought the way they came out and they're getting the 50-50 balls, you know, they always say the 50-50 balls become those 80-20, and Carolina was first to the floor a lot tonight. I think that kind of set the tone. Cormac Ryan set the tone offensively. I don't think he gets enough credit for how tough he is as a defender, because he just never stops working on the defensive end. even when his offense isn't going. And when his offense is going like it is tonight, Carolina kind of shows that they're a Final Four team. And I think one of the biggest takeaways I had from this game is the emphasis that Duke had trying to take RJ Davis out of the game plan. The former athlete in me looks at guys like Cormac Ryan and like Harrison Ingram, and I would be lining up to play with those two. The grit they bring, the effort, the toughness, the intensity, you just never question that those two are going to bring it from an effort level every night. And it's fitting that the first game in the Dean Dome felt like it was Harrison's game, and the second night it felt like it was Cormac Ryan's game. And those two were the two biggest players in why Carolina sweeps Duke this year in the regular season.
Yeah, who won the transfer portal battle? Hubert Davis did pretty daggone good.
And Withers, Withers gave great minutes, too.
Big buckets.
Yeah, big buckets, big rebounds. And Washington, you know, only scored 2 points. If I told you that Elliott Cadeau would have one assist and four turnovers, Dewey, RJ Davis and Baycott would combine for, 18 points and only 10 rebounds. Speaks to this team. It's not just about one guy. And Hubert talked about that Thursday. It really speaks to the team as a group to be able to go in and do what they did tonight.
It does. You know, obviously, if you had said Cormac would have had 31, I would have said, okay, well, we probably had a good
starts leveling.
Yeah, but no, look, the team effort is an important comment. I thought Seth Trimble was terrific in this game. And even the one field goal, I guess he missed two field goals, but the last jumper he took that he missed, I thought was a good shot. He was great defensively. We just talked about Withers. He had 8 rebounds and a bunch of timely baskets. You know, Mondo only had 9, but all 9 felt like big points. Harrison, you know, really timely buckets, especially that little 6-8 foot floater he made down the stretch there was a big time shot. And I know Elliott turned the ball over and he had a couple careless mistakes, but I actually thought before he got in foul trouble, he was really good in the first half. You know, stuff to learn in terms of fouling jump shooters and things like that. But yeah, look, everybody contributed. And I like what Vip said. And, you'd be honest, you receive texts and feedback like, what do they see in Cormac? Why did they want to go get him? And my response has always been, look, he's been inconsistent. But you can't tell me you watch and you can't see that guy plays his absolute heart out. And Harrison is the same, which we've talked about. So you bring in two portal guys that didn't have a lot of winning in their careers to date, and they came here hungry. And they now, however many games it's been, 31 games later, are still as hungry as they were then. And they play like it. They scrap being first to the floor, like Vip said. I'm so happy for these guys. I'm so happy for Coach Davis and the whole staff. There is nothing like going in there and winning. I'm just telling you. And what that locker room feels like, what they, you know, they probably showered Cormac with water bottles and Coach Davis too. And it's a tiny little crap locker room, and you're on top of each other. And there's just, I walked out of there twice a winner, and there's nothing like it. Nothing.
Yeah, it looked like the Duke fans either may have tossed something into the Carolina players or something happened there, but they told them what they thought. Vip, let's talk a little bit about, and we're talking Carolina 84, Duke 79. There's 1,300 people in the chat. Keep getting it up. Call your mamas and papas and your cousins and tell them to get it here in the live chat here on Inside Carolina. And don't forget to support our sponsors while you're at it. Johnny T-shirt, of course, once upon a time they made this shirt. And I want to talk about how IC sees everything here. And also Congruity and congruityhr.com/Tar Heels to get your small to mid-sized business. Vip, let's talk about some plays. Let's talk about the opening. And Dewey, you mentioned this, but Vip, to come out, that's one thing you can't do against Duke. You can't let them get rolling early. If we remember the game in 22, when they came into the Dean Dome and they got rolling quick and it was over. They we talk a lot about Miami being front runners. I think Duke likes to get out on top of people early. The last few times Carolina's won this game is because of that start. They did it a couple years ago. They did it again tonight. They did it in the Smith Center. Just sort of speak to the energy and the effort. And I know Hubert was all about it. I kept waiting for him to say, you know, there's live action out here when at his halftime interview. But the guy's getting on the floor, diving on the floor no matter what. I mean, that's the way you beat this Duke team, is you punch them in the mouth out of the gate and let them know we're here. And Carolina has done that repeatedly against this bunch and did it again tonight.
Yeah, I thought it was a great performance. And I have to be honest, Tommy, that question was so long. I didn't know if that question was for me or Dewey again.
Look, I got to get me. When we break down these shows at the end, right, it has speaker one, 10%, speaker two. I'm trying to level it out, you know. No, I will sit back and listen. Carolina punched Duke in the mouth,
yeah.
And did not trip on their opportunity to win this game and dominate the first half. I did like what Shire said at halftime. He said, hey, at least we won the last 17 minutes of the half.
Yeah. when you play at Cameron Indoor, the story from all the former players is just about surviving that initial first 5 minutes when the crowd is at their best. And not only did Carolina survive the first 5 minutes, they were the ones, like Dewey said, that took the fight to this Duke team. And they were able to build up enough lead and play with such a big lead to where there was a little comfort level. And you know this Duke team, they have so much talent on their team that a run was eventually going to come. I think Jared McCain is probably the best pro prospect on the court.
Terrifies me.
I think without question, he's the best pro prospect on that Duke team. And I would think it was really impressive that Carolina was able to build a 15-point lead at some point in the first half. But I think what was even more impressive is that when Duke got it down to one with a chance to take the lead with the ball, that this North Carolina team had another answer in them, had another response in them, where they go on a 7-0 run to kind of extend the lead and put Duke at arm's length. So, yeah, I think when you're watching this team, even when RJ Davis doesn't have the best game, even when Armando Bacot doesn't have the best game, the experience that this team brings night in and night out is why I never really understood why Carolina was a 4.5-point underdog going into this game, or even getting up to 5.5, because you look at the experience that these guys bring. And yes, Cameron Indoor is a really tough environment, but Carolina has a lot of guys that aren't going to blink and aren't going to be afraid of the moment. And I think that's what you saw tonight.
Yeah, I was trying to let you run the floor, so I had myself muted. Dewey, talk a little bit about what you said earlier, the fight and the grit and how that's ingrained in this team. It's always been a part of Carolina, but there have been times where maybe Duke would outwork Carolina and pull this game out. Just sort of speak to that aspect of this and how important it is in the rivalry, in basketball in general, but in the rivalry especially.
Yeah, I mean, you never would want to come in to the locker room after 40 minutes and question who played harder, right? It always has to be you. And I think the blue-collar mentality that we have defensively, the way we guard our communication, and really since December, with a couple letdowns, but since December, since they tightened up the switching, they didn't switch all five, they really just switched like screens and exchanges and learned to communicate better and guard as a unit. The toughness that requires and then ultimately brings into the rest of your game, it carries itself through to being first to the floor. It carries itself through to crashing the offensive glass. It carries itself through to sharing the ball. I mean, this is an incredibly unselfish team, right? The ball moves. They try to take great shots. And I just, I'm really impressed with our ability to go in there and outfight them when they were the ones that needed to win to get a piece of something. And yet we played harder. We outfought them and went in there and won with the ACC Player of the Year not having a huge night and didn't have to. But that said, his three in the first half was big. His floater in the second half was timely. I mean, all of Mondo and RJ's baskets were extremely timely and important. But yeah, I mean, like, it's a great day to be a Tar Heel. It really is. Why on earth would you want to be a co-champion? Who the hell wants to do that? and to just to close it out like that, 25-6, 17-3 in the conference. I know you can tell me the ACC is that 17-3 in the conference. That's a significant accomplishment. So no, you're likely looking at the ACC Player of the Year, the ACC Coach of the Year, and boy, a lot of momentum rolling into DC. But really, really proud of these guys. Really, really proud.
Yeah, a lot of people talk about a weaker ACC, but 17-3 means you went on the road, and Carolina, I believe, was 8-2 on the road because they lost one game at home. Just a phenomenal year for Hubert Davis in the regular season with a lot more to go. I do want to talk about Johnny T-shirt one more time and show folks what they're selling now. Check this out, Taylor. You want one of these?
I do like that shirt. Yeah,
they are selling.
I also saw they're doing the pre-orders for the conference championship shirts.
Nice. So you got this at Johnny T-shirt. Go check them out on Franklin Street. Get your Our Blue is Better at Johnny T-shirt, johnnytshirt.com. And of course, if you're an Inside Carolina Premium subscriber, you get 10% off your order. Carolina 84-79. You know, Dewey, I thought when we were texting that we would have to talk about the officiating. But I'd be remiss if we don't, because you were miffed. How does, in this day and age, when they review everything, and they can review Elliot Cadeau's three that was behind the line and they leave it the same, how can they not review a blatant trip?
Yeah, I have no understanding of that. I've said on here for however many years we've been doing this, good teams beat bad refs. We beat bad refs tonight. They didn't give us anything, including that bogus shot clock violation coming out of the under four timeout when RJ got absolutely hacked. No call. I mean, just Elliott's was a three, and then obviously the big one. I mean, it's not even hard to see. It's not like, oh, did he mean to? Was he actually trying to get up? No, he stuck his foot out and tripped him. And immediately when it happened, Hubert was calling for them to review it. And so what I don't understand is if the head coach at a stoppage in play says to the referees, you need to review that, he tripped my player, are they allowed to say no? Like, I fundamentally actually don't know. I don't know the answer to the question. But you would sure think if the head coach says he tripped him, you missed it, you got to go watch it. Just go watch it. And so if they do, he might be thrown out, or at least it's another foul and he fouls out much earlier in the game. Should they suspend him for the first game of the ACC tournament? I mean, it can't be nothing. That's what I don't get. So it can't be nothing in the game and then nothing rolling into the next game. That's not a basketball play. Harrison could have got hurt. It can't be nothing. It probably will, but it can't be nothing. And that, I mean, I was furious about that. And not even because it's a Duke guy or not or whatever. Guys, there's 75 cameras in here. Go look at it. He stuck his foot out and tripped our player. And I said, I don't know what the rule is. I don't understand how if the head coach asks, you don't have to go look at it.
Not only are there all the cameras, Ted Valentine was looking dead at it and didn't call it. And then when
why did he go talk to Flip when
and
he
then
checked
he went
out?
And checked
what was
on
that?
Flip.
What was
don't,
that?
Don't trip him again. It is ridiculous. First of all, props to Harrison Ingram for not going back at him. Yeah. Because there's certain things that, as a non-athlete, make me mad. That kind of crap, and then hit me in the face. We're fighting. I mean, we're going at it. And Filipowski gets more of the benefit of the doubt. Jay Billis and that crowd never mentioned it again. Yeah. Jay Williams, Seth Greenberg, and Reese Davis at halftime never mentioned it. But they will talk about a court storming for months, mm-hmm, where the kid could have gotten out of the way. And he just sat there, tripped the kid, forearm shivered a kid, and then act like he got shot. I mean, I'm not picking on Flip. I'm picking on the grown-ups that just don't have the balls to take care of them. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
And you're right. I told you, there's no chance. I would be more than shocked if they suspend him for a game. But I said, I tweeted it, and it's probably too much. I said he could shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue for his fifth foul, and they wouldn't call it. And yeah, they proved it. I mean, Vip, you want a piece of that? You're muted too. See, I get you. I got you back.
It was a very somber tone on ESPN the last couple of minutes. Anytime Carolina did something, it was like, Ellie Cadeau with the three. Very hushed reaction. So I'm not surprised that it was never really brought up again, because you look on social media and everything that has to do with that tweet or that play has a ton of engagement. People wondering how doesn't that get reviewed. It's something I don't know how you don't look at that. I think the thing that probably worked against Carolina in that favor is how long that the ball stayed in play until the next dead ball, where if it's something like the foul happens immediately, maybe it's still on Hubert Davis's mind and he brings it up to the ref again. But it felt like there was like probably a minute of game action before the ball kind of went on, and Hubert Davis at that point probably just was moving on to the next play. But yeah, I think it's a bad look for the ACC, and it's not surprising what team it is and when it's not getting called. I think that's the only thing that really has to be said.
Yeah. Ted Valentine, peacocks around the court, and he's not a terrible official. I mean, he calls a good game sometimes, but he will not make the big call. He will not nut up and make the big call. And that would have been a tremendous moment in the ball game. As far as I'm concerned, I would not have brought it up had Carolina lost the game, because it's not what you do. And like Dewey said, good teams beat bad refs. But anyway, interesting time in the game. Guys, we've got 1,919 people in here. I want to get to 2,000, then I'll let y'all go. But let's sort of look ahead a little bit. Carolina completes the sweep of Duke, outright ACC champions. Hubert Davis told us in the press conferences how important it was for him, so his team gets it. I'm sure the celebration's unreal. I think the varsity theater on Franklin Street was packed with students to watch these games in both theaters, so I'm sure Franklin Street's hopping right now. But Dewey, looking ahead to the ACC tournament, it's in D.C. Carolina gets the number one seed. I have no idea what the rest of the thing is. I think the Pitt State game matters. But your thoughts on this team rolling. The best thing about this team for me is that RJ can have 9 points and they can still be the top 10 team on the road. I mean, for me, that makes this team a little different than we've seen in the past. What's your thoughts moving forward?
Yeah, and Mondo not having a huge night, right? I mean, the game at home, Mondo and Harrison were, you know, extraordinary, and we beat them pretty handily. And then to go in there and have those two guys just have, you know, mediocre games from a statistics perspective, and then still win. Obviously, it took a career night. Was that Cormac's career high in any jersey? Yeah.
I know he said he'd had 27 at Duke for Notre Dame. I don't think he had more than that. I can look it up while we're talking. Well, yeah. If it's not, I don't know what he did to get.
He's never played better. Let's put it that way. Absolutely. Last thing before we talk about the ACC tournament, I don't remember if Krzyzewski was at the home Carolina game last year. I have no idea. But if he wasn't, that's three in a row. That's three L's in a row for him.
I knew when he was in the game tonight, I was like, oh, yeah, Carolina's winning this one.
Yeah. And I love that he was sitting there with his ring, just like he used to sit on the bench like this.
He had a great view tonight.
Yeah, he had a great view.
Cormac's career high, before you finish, Dewey, 29 at Notre Dame against Alabama.
Yeah.
So this was his career high.
So his career high. So, you know, if you're Cormac, you just became legendary. I mean, you just became legendary. People will remember this. You know, it's not anything like at the level of the Caleb Love shot in the Final Four, but, you know, people don't forget when you go in there and have an unbelievable performance like that. So happy for him, because he's been maligned a lot of times during the year, some deserved, but he never stopped playing hard, never stopped trying. And, you know, I hope he's on Franklin Street tonight. I hope he has a good time.
He was last time. Yeah, he was last time partying.
Yeah, he's in the streets. That's what the funniest thing that that I have been told about Cormac is he would have, talking about us, said, oh, he would have been running with y'all when you were in school. It's like, all right, he's in the streets. But ACC tournament. Yeah, look, it's a nice chance to regroup and reset. You know, Coach Williams, you know, never said anything like it to us, but I do think he valued the regular season more than the tournament in terms of the body of work and what it meant for how your team was throughout the year. It's always meant more to me to win the regular season. I was fortunate enough my senior year to win both, and that was a great experience, especially because we beat State in the final. That was great. Look, good chance for the guys to rest, and DC hasn't been good to us, so maybe we can turn that around. And look, once you get out there, it's just like another game that you play your guts out to try and win. It'll be interesting to see if we see Duke again. That's always an interesting concept, and once how the bracket looks, and if we could see him again in the semis or the final. I don't know how it's going to shake out, like you said, Tommy. But yeah, good chance to rest, get recuperated, and you know, the ring that I have has two ACC championships on it, not one. That's a cool thing, you know. So you're up there, you might as well win, and that's the mentality they should take. And great momentum rolling into the postseason.
Muted.
Come on, TA. Push the button.
Still muted. I'm about to take this ball if you don't start talking.
Oh, we lost him.
I'll take it for a second. Yeah, but
yeah, stay here. I'm back. Can you hear
okay.
Me?
Yeah.
I don't know what happened. All I could see was the live chat scrolling down. You know, we're almost at 2,000 people, and all I could see was the live chat. It felt like I was in the Matrix for a second. I'm sweating here. Vip, get in here.
Yeah, I think going into the ACC tournament, if you're a Carolina fan, you have to be feeling great. You have the likely ACC Coach of the Year, the ACC Player of the Year. You have a bunch of guys that you know are going to compete every night, and you have a team that, when they're at their best, has shown that they are as good as anybody in the country, a clear title contender. So going into the ACC tournament, it feels great going into the postseason. And this is when the Carolina teams that like Dewey has played on and all the Roy teams have started to play their best basketball. And I don't think anybody would be surprised if this team does go on a run, because they have all the makings of a team that can go on a run. When you can win without RJ Davis going ballistic, it's a good sign. But in your back pocket, you know you have a guard who can go for 30-plus points on almost any given night, and everybody knows how important guards are when the calendar turns to March. So, yeah, I think going into ACC tournament, this team is right on that one line, and – worst case scenario, going to be a two playing in Charlotte, most likely.
Yeah, a lot left to play for. Carolina closes the regular season 17-3, two wins over Duke, first seed in the ACC tournament. I guess that's noon on Thursday that they'll play. And like I said, I don't know. I'm not so sure I understand why the one seed in the ACC tournament gets a team that's only had to play one game, but everybody else with the double bye gets a team that's had to play two nights in a row in the ACC tournament. I've always thought that's kind of interesting. But at any rate, Carolina gets a chance. Anything left, boys, before we get out of here? We got it up to 1,984 people, and then the Matrix hit, and we lost a couple more. So we're back down to 1,940. Anything left before we get out of here? Do we tell us a Duke-Carolina score at Duke? You said you left there with two wins in your career. Tell us a story from one of those that maybe we haven't heard before.
Obviously the first one was when the Hansbrough, you know, Green, Fraser, Ginyard group were freshmen, when Tyler went off and Bobby hit those two threes. That and Dave, you know, we had David Noel and Wes played great. Danny played, everybody played great. I remember texting my high school coach from the bus on the way over there, and I texted him, I said, time to shock the basketball world. Because I remember Coach Williams saying to us, you know, we were young, we'd had an up and down season. They were number one. They had JJ, Sheldon, senior night, the whole thing. I remember Coach saying, there are not very many people outside of this locker room that believe that we can go in there and win. And that's exactly what we're going to do. And you believed it. You know, when you, as a player, you believed it. And that's exactly what we did. We went in there and won. So that's a fun tidbit, because I remember Coach saying that to us specifically. And I remember going out that night on Franklin Street and how much fun it was. And then the next year, my senior year, is when we had Ty and Wayne and B-Wright and all that. And I just remember us kind of throwing the offensive playbook out and Coach just saying, you know, Ty, every time you get a chance, drive them. Every time you get a chance, drive them. They can't keep themselves in front of you. And if you go back and watch that game, I mean, some other guys had good statistical output, but we just spread it out and Ty just destroyed them. Paulus had no business trying to guard him. And I felt like saying to Paulus in the handshake line, that's what I have to deal with at practice every day, trying to guard this dude. So I get it, man. I just remember Ty being so dominant in that second game. And like I said earlier, I was a part of some great locker rooms. I mean, when we won at Kentucky my junior year unranked, winning at Rupp was something that was really special. Winning at Madison Square Garden is something that's really special. Making a run in the tournament, win the ACC tournament, all that. But I'm going to tell you that the most fun I ever had was in the locker room at Cameron Indoor Stadium after a win. It's the most fun I ever had in that jersey.
Yep. I'm going to get us out of here. Armando Baycott live on Instagram, folks, if you want to dip out. It looks like they're on the bus going home, so folks can go
posing
find
with
that
the trophy.
Yeah, they look like they're having a lot of fun on the bus. So all the people that are in here can go join the stack of folks that are in on Armando's IG Live. It's been the Inside Carolina postgame show, Carolina 84, Duke 79. Johnny T-shirt, johnnyt-shirt.com, I've said it, and Congruity HR, get your free assessment, and you can get this at Johnny T-shirt. Look at there. Dewey showing the Baycott live on there.
What a legacy Armando Baycott has had in Chapel Hill.
Man is living the life.
And in the story, we're still writing the story.
Yeah, indeed. Right. Great way to end it, Taylor. Still writing the story of this North Carolina team. ACC tournament starts Thursday. Carolina will play the winner of the 8-9 seed, and then it's on to March Madness. Shout out to everybody that joined. Shout out to Dewey and Vitt for being awesome all regular season. We'll talk to you guys again soon. Thanks, boys.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.